welcome to the AVOD. I'm Count Vargelon.
I'm DM.
And tonight, it's Christmas time on Mars?
God.
Sorry, I wanted to sell it like the movie sells it, but we'll get there. Yes, that's right. We're talking about the most classic, most famous, weird 60s children's movie of all, Santa Claus Conquers the Martians. A thing that does not happen in the film. Santa Claus conquers the Martians.
There is no conquering of any type.
Nobody conquers at all. But you know what? Again, we'll get there. First, some random crap. I wanted to recommend a couple of video games, as I often do.
Mm-hmm.
The new EDF comes out today, and I just think everyone should pick that up. It's EDF 5. I talked about this a little when I bought the Japanese version last year on import, but I've got myself a nice copy of the North American version, and the story is as entertaining as ever. The singing is as fun as ever. All of the translation stuff that you've come to love out of this franchise is just solid gold. It's everything you want out of an EDF game, and more. 110 levels. It's now fully playable by single players. Previously, there were of the four classes, two of them were only good for multiplayer. Now, the one single player can play the entire game on their own without any trouble at all. So yeah, it's essentially, that means it's got double the content of the previous game in the series, which already had an embarrassingly large amount of content. So Earth Defense Force, you battle giant aliens in space suits, you battle giant frogs with energy machine guns, you take down UFOs, it's fantastic. I've loved this series for over a decade now, and they just keep improving with every new one. Earth Defense Force 5, highest marks. The other game that comes out today is Battle Princess Madeline,
which, oh my God,
this is going to be a very, I don't know if this is going to be for everyone, because you have to kind of like hardcore-ish platformers, but it's a tribute to Ghouls and Goblins, except it's about a princess who wants revenge on demons for murdering her dog.
Okay.
And it's adorable, and it's super challenging, and the animation is gorgeous, so if you really love, you know, classic hardcore platformers, give this one a look, because it's not as hard as those were, but it's definitely in that tradition of an old-style Ghouls and Ghosts and Goblins, and it's very entertaining in its own right. Beautiful game, great style, just I was quite impressed. Battle Princess Madeline.
Okay.
Yeah, all right. With a name like that, you thought it was going to be something really upsetting. But it wasn't. It was just a normal, everyday platformer. I get why you thought that.
Upsetting, just weird in a way that only the Japanese can be
would
weird.
Do. Yeah, but no, this isn't even a Japanese game. It's just a regular...
Oh, it's not? It sounds like a Japanese.
It does sound like a Japanese game.
I guess because I'm thinking of Battle Angel. So.
Yeah, that's a reasonable thing to think. You know what?
Yeah.
I see how you got there.
Which I'm not going to see, by the way.
You're
too
not
weird.
Because you're too creeped out by her horrible monster eyes?
Yes!
Yes! I know! I might see it anyway, because I love that comic book too. But oh my God, her horrible monster eyes are so hard to look at!
It's fucked up.
Why would you do that?
Right? God.
Like, you know, did you not... Like, because people have done extensive investigations into what creates the uncanny valley effect that makes things hard to look at.
This is it.
And
right
80%
there.
Of the result of those investigations are, you done screwed up the eyes. That's what made it horrible. You done screwed up the eyes. And then, it's like, this is Uncanny Valley, the motion picture.
Yeah.
No, it's really hard to watch that trailer. Also, just a TV show thing. This is a weird recommendation, but on Netflix, they put up a bunch of episodes of Jeopardy. Netflix now. And I hope they put up a lot more, because they just put up an old Tournament of Champions. But it's quite entertaining just being able to turn an episode of Jeopardy on Netflix. Because one of the things I've missed about not having, you know, cable television anymore is I don't get to watch Netflix. I don't get to watch Jeopardy every day, because I've always loved Jeopardy. So it's kind of nice to have it back, and I'm very charmed by their decision to put it on there and say, yeah, nerds, we know you like to feel smart. Here's Jeopardy.
I didn't know you got rid of your cable.
Yeah, no, I haven't had cable in like 2 years.
Oh.
I know.
I knew that because you watch everything anyway, so.
I do. But they canceled Castle, and I was like, yep, well, I don't need TV anymore. That's an exaggeration, but, you know, it has its roots in truth, that statement. It did happen the year they canceled. It's just it wasn't a causation-related thing. That'd be like saying they canceled Sons of Anarchy and I got rid of cable. Because it was the same year as they got rid of Castle, but obviously that would have made me, you know, believe in television again, canceling Sons of Anarchy.
Oh, God.
But no, it's just unrelated. But yeah, I just check out Jeopardy. And yes, Jeopardy is much, much easier now, but it's still very entertaining to watch.
Is it easier Jeopardy? Or are you smarter?
I'm not. I went back and I watched Jeopardy segments on YouTube from the early 90s and the late 80s, and I'm like, this show used to be hard.
Okay.
And the thing is, there's still, like, ones I just completely whiff on. For example, I don't know what it is about Americans that they feel comfortable saying that everyone should know baseball trivia, but it's like, there are so many questions on Jeopardy
national
about baseball.
Pastime.
I guess.
Well, but here's the thing, though. When I was in Nottingham, we did pub quiz all the time, and there was always, without fail, questions about cricket.
Oh,
no other sport.
Okay, so it's just a thing.
Just right. Cricket.
And what is the one thing I know about cricket? This actually came up on the show. So do you remember the one thing I know about cricket?
I don't know. No.
But the most famous Australian cricketer is named Don Bradman.
Why do you know that?
It came up in Wolf Creek 2, that hilarious scene where he's like, you friggin' tourists, you don't know Australia, but it turns out the guy's like an Australia historian.
Oh, right.
And so he's like, then, oh yeah, you know so much about Australia? Who's the most famous cricketer? And then, of course, I didn't know the other questions, but I'm watching the movie and I'm like, Don Bradman! And I was right, it was Don Bradman. And the answer is, because there's a video game, Don Bradman's Cricket.
Oh, God.
And so I thought, well, if someone's famous enough to have had a video game named after him, then yeah, okay, that's probably the guy we're talking about here.
That's a good guess.
I lucked out. I'm not saying I would have survived that ordeal. I definitely wouldn't have. But I would have gotten that question right, in a way the character in the movie didn't.
There you go.
So, that's my statement about Jeopardy. It's easier now than it used to be, but it's still an unbelievably entertaining show, and that Alex Trebek really is a national treasure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, so next up?
A list, I guess?
I believe we have a list.
Is that where we are now? Okay,
we
list
are at the
time.
List, yeah.
All right, so because we watched Santa Claus Conquers the Martians, I dug up a list of the 20 worst Christmas movies of all time.
Okay, well, it's not going to have the correct answer, which is the fake movie from within the movie Ernest Saves Christmas.
Of course not.
But I will accept the results of the lists. This list, even though it is not going to have that, the true worst Christmas movie ever made. Which is like Christmas and like the Creature from the Black Lagoon is there or something. It was a weird movie. All right. It made a man quit Hollywood and become Santa instead, which I don't think you'd have to be convinced very hard to become Santa if you had the opportunity to become Santa. Like, I don't think that's a hard sell as a job. Because the whole movie, The Santa Claus, I feel is like about him not wanting to be Santa. I'm like, why would you not want to be Santa?
Well, he's a curmudgeon. Isn't that the whole point? And then he becomes Santa and learns that there's
but
more
the
to life than
Christmas
just being a
to be
cranky old
son. Yeah. You know, that's true. But it's like, it's just the kind of person who would not want to be Santa right away. I think it has to be such a terrible person that how could you get on board with that character for a second? And now that I say that out loud, I was not on board with his character for a second in that movie. So yeah, no, that's actually a completely valid point in me. All right. 20 terrible Christmas movies. Hit me.
Number 20, Rudolph and Frosty's Christmas in July.
Is that a sequel to Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and Frosty
the
Snowman? Wow, I've never heard of this.
I haven't heard of most of these. Granted, I don't watch a lot of Christmas movies to begin
with. Well, there's a reason for that. Yeah,
right,
actually a really good reason for that. You're aware of Christmas movies, and that's what
I know they exist.
So what is the description?
It says here... I don't know, it just... Everyone loves the Rankin Bass classic Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, but there's a reason you only see that special and not its ill-fated sequel.
Wow.
In reality, Rankin and Bass cranked out numerous Rudolph sequels in the years that followed of increasingly horrendous quality.
No!
Says here, things finally bottomed out with the insane Rudolph and Frosty's Christmas in July in 1979, featuring a plot that involves Rudolph being accused of theft and experiencing a flying reindeer's version of erectile dysfunction when his nose stops glowing.
Well, I don't think... I think a flying reindeer's version of erectile dysfunction would be not being able to fly.
But I guess he can't fly if his nose doesn't glow?
No,
or maybe
he
thinks
that. I mean, the rest of
them. No, but that might be what he thinks.
Maybe that's what he thinks. It's just, it's a glowing-nosed reindeer's version of erectile dysfunction, not a flying reindeer's, but whatever.
Anyway.
This sounds terrible.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, because I know there's a sequel to one of them, and that's where the Heat Miser is from, a character I've only heard about in references in comedy television shows.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't seen the original because I, as a child, I was afraid of the stop motion.
So yeah, stop motion can be kind of creepy.
Didn't watch it.
I totes get that. Like, other people will mock you for that.
I'm fine with that. I'm comfortable with who I am and the choices I've made in life.
But I get why you would be nervous about stop motion. It's a creepy aesthetic.
I'm fine with it now, just when I was a kid.
No, when you were a kid. No, but I'm saying how it has weird stuff about how it makes things look strange in a way that I could see kids freaking out at. Mm-hmm. I get that. All right, next up.
I didn't even know this existed. Number 19, Grumpy Cat's Worst Christmas Ever.
Wow. God, I forgot Grumpy Cat was a thing until you mentioned that. All right.
So maybe the less said about it, the better. We'll just move on.
No, absolutely.
Number 18, Christmas Caper.
Ooh, that sounds entertaining.
It stars Shannon Doherty.
Then it's not. She makes a lot of bad movies, is all I'm saying.
Yeah, in this, I think she's like a diamond thief.
Wow, who has to like work her way in with a family who lost their mother on Christmas and then has her heart softened.
Says here she was the best thief in the business until a bad job and a horrible hurricane sent her to the one place she feared the most, home for the holidays.
Oh, okay. So it's something completely different than I expected and even worse.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's more entertaining when you like have to pretend to be a good person to pull off the ultimate heist, but then like you end up becoming a good person for real.
Well, it says here her plan to get back on her feet revolves around stealing and pawning all of the family's Christmas presents.
That's a Does she come from a family of millionaires who give each other Fabergé eggs? Like,
maybe.
Doesn't seem like much of a plan.
Well, that reminds me, I watched season 4 of The Librarians recently, and there's an episode set, like, I guess kind of around Christmas, but it's Santa's brother.
Okay.
Whose name I don't remember. And
Fred
he's a thief.
Oh.
No. So they Ezekiel's family celebrates Thanksgiving, which is like a thief's holiday.
Okay, that's pretty beautiful. That's pretty fun. Oh, it's a nice show.
Is there more than four seasons? Because the end of season 4 had a real finality to it.
Oh, no, really? I'll have to check if it's coming back for next season, because that would be terrible. Mm-hmm. I enjoy that show. Again, I don't think it's a great show. I think it's a very entertaining show.
Fun show.
It's so much fun.
And we love Christian Kane.
We love Christian Kane so much. You know, more than maybe is warranted by his body of work, but he's very entertaining.
He's great. And he can sing.
He's a great singer. Like, he really is a great singer. Not on the level of a Seth MacFarlane, but really good.
Yeah.
All right. So, next up.
Number 17, Santa's Sleigh.
Oh, that's a garbage movie.
But it's so entertaining.
It is. It is entertaining. Like, it is entertaining and dumb and garbage. But yeah, you have a good time with Santa's Sleigh.
Right? Like, it's a bad movie, but
I think it's definitely fun.
There's more entertainment value to be had in Santa Slay than a lot of the other movies on this list.
Oh, completely. Like, I could 100% guarantee you will come out of Santa Slay at least having had a few laughs. Like, yeah. 100%. Absolutely.
Okay, number 16, I'll Be Home for Christmas.
Okay, I don't know what that is.
It stars Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Oh, God, right! And he's like a college student who wants to get home for Christmas? And has wacky Planes, Trains, and Automobiles-style misadventures?
I don't know. It sounds like you know more about
this. I feel like I remember this movie happening.
What does it say here? It doesn't say anything about the movie. It's just about JTT.
So this description is not going to help me figure out whether I just made up a Jonathan Taylor Thomas movie in my head.
It's a road trip movie. Okay, well, no, I think you were right.
Okay.
It is a road trip movie. Roger Ebert put it best, saying it features, quote, people who seem to be removed from a 50s sitcom so they can spread cliches, ancient jokes, dumb plotting, and empty, cheerful, sanitized gimmicks into our world and time, end quote.
Okay, no, that's definitely the movie I'm thinking of. I've never seen it, but I remember it happening.
Oh,
like,
yeah, it
Calendar
says,
Girl. Like, I remember it happened. I just never
lest
saw
we
it.
Forget, why does JTT need so desperately to get home from California to New York? Is it for family togetherness? Oh, that's right. It's because his father has promised him a Porsche.
Oh my God, that's terrible. The sad part is, I was going to guess inheritance.
Oh,
I was
going
to guess it was like a dead dad, and he had to get his inheritance by getting home by Christmas. Oh. But no, it's for a Porsche.
It's for a Porsche.
Sounds like a terrible movie.
I'd probably rush across country for a free Porsche.
I know. I think we all would, but I think we would just, I would just fly. I mean, get on a plane. I don't have to have a road trip.
Maybe there was weather and the flight, oh no, it was going from California to New York. So why would they have bad weather?
I know.
I don't know. Whatever.
You know what? Maybe there's a super volcano. Who can say?
Maybe.
All of course, right. Next up.
Number 15, Black Christmas from 2006.
Oh, yeah, no, that was garbage. I was about to say, why are you saying Black Christmas is a bad movie? That's such a good movie. But no, the remake was terrible. It was about nothing.
I don't actually know if I've seen it.
You haven't? Oh, don't. It's terrible.
No, I don't.
It's really bad. Like, it's just like generic slasher in the worst way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just nothing good about it. Like, Black Christmas is a really good movie. Like, the original Black Christmas, Bob Clark Black Christmas, that's a really good movie.
Yeah, great film.
Yeah, like an actual great early slasher film. And as Bob Clark will tell you over and over again, the inspiration for Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was always happy to brag about that, even though I never knew whether that story was true or not. But yeah, he's a wonderful dude. We all miss him. I've never seen A Christmas Story, so let's just get that out of the way. Next up. I know.
Okay.
It's bad. I just thought I should bring that up since we're talking about Christmas and Bob Clark came up organically, and I'm like, no, I've never seen Christmas Story. Sorry.
I have. Wow.
I know Kevin McCarthy's in it. That's what I know about that movie. And I later found out that Zach Ward was in it, and it was his first movie when he was a child star.
Yeah.
And then he, like, didn't act for years, and now he's one of our favorite low-budget actors.
Yeah.
All right, okay. Next up.
Number 14, The Nutcracker in 3D.
Well, I didn't see that.
I don't think I knew that it was a thing.
Okay.
Until I read about this.
It's like the tale of the Nutcracker. Is it animated? Is it live action?
It's live action.
From when, may I ask?
2009.
I don't remember that happened.
I don't think anybody remembers.
I've got no memory of that. Okay, so it was an adaptation of The Nutcracker, like the new adaptation of The Nutcracker from this year.
It says here, the tone is legitimately bizarre, somewhere between war film and family comedy, alternating between horrifying rat men in Nazi uniforms and Nathan Lane in a fright wig and a German accent.
How do I not remember this movie? That sounds crazy. Wow, okay. Yeah, no, I don't remember that this even happened. I saw the new one, they've made a new one, and it's like the redo versions of those Alice in Wonderland movies,
mm-hmm.
right? You know, the bleak, action-packed Alice in Wonderland, she is a fated savior of Wonderland type of movies, but about the Nutcracker. So.
Yeah.
So yeah, that should be interesting. I'm kind of interested to see both of those now, to see what they've, you know, the liberties they have both taken with the premise of the ballet.
I have no desire to see this weird 3D one, but I will see the other one.
Nutcracker and the Four Kingdoms or whatever.
Whatever they call it, yeah.
Whatever ridiculous title it has. It's something like that.
Yeah.
All right, next up.
Number 13, Christmas Evil.
Oh, no, screw you. Christmas Evil's great.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's the weirdest movie you'll ever see. That's not hyperbole. It's the weirdest movie you'll ever see.
Very strange.
And to the point where, like, it feels like different sections of the movie were filmed at vastly different times. And, like, the movie was, like, cobbled together. And, by the way, Raymond J. Barry, who came up, like, a week ago when we were talking about Purge, is in that movie. There's a scene where, like, there's been a report of the killer Santa on the loose. So a witness is brought down to look at a lineup of Santas, and it's just six guys in Santa costumes. And the cop is Raymond J. Barry.
Legitimately funny.
It's a legitimately funny scene. Like, which one of these Santas?
Ah, it's the one in the red.
I know, like, how is that going to help? It's a legitimately funny movie at many times within the film. Like, it's
and a legitimately weird at other times.
So weird. I mean,
really
it's
weird.
So strange.
Yeah.
But it is a legitimately funny movie a lot of the time. All right, so yeah, Christmas Evil. No, that doesn't belong on this list. It's actually it's definitely worth watching. Again, I don't know if I'm going so far as to say good, but it's totally worth watching, and it's lot of fun.
Like,
weirdest movie you'll ever see.
Entertainment value.
Oh yeah, but it's like no one being rational would put it on a worst list.
No, I don't think. Well, maybe I think it's just because of what happens at the end of the movie.
Maybe. But you know what? I know we've spoiled that in the past, but this time we're not going to spoil it. Watch Christmas Evil.
All right.
Something happens at the end, and that's all we're going to say.
All right, number 12, Surviving Christmas.
Oh, which one is that?
Okay. This is
that the Tim Allen movie? No.
No.
John Travolta. No, forget it. Stop guessing.
All right. This stars Ben Affleck.
Ben Affleck. Okay.
He plays a rich advertising exec and generally terrible human being who pays the people residing in his old house to pretend to be his family for the holiday season.
Right. Oh, this man. This is
exactly
another one I totally forgot existed.
As depressing as it sounds.
That's sad.
Awful.
So he has to, like, convince his girlfriend that he's not a hollow husk, and so
nothing here about convincing anybody anything. This is something he does.
Oh, it's just something he does for himself. That's so much sadder.
I'm assuming. I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe
not. Because my version where he has to lie to his fiance to prove he's not a creep by having a fake family.
No, you're at just least making that up. You don't know.
No, that's what I'm saying. My version. At least he's got some kind of a semblance of a reason. Whereas if he's just doing it because he's sad and his family is, I presume, dead, why would you make that movie?
Oh, I don't know. Because you were terrible. I don't know. Whatever.
Surviving Christmas. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Number 11, Deck the Halls.
Oh, God. That's the one about Matthew Broderick and Danny DeVito having a Christmas-like competition.
Yes.
Oh, that was the worst movie in the world. Yes, that belongs on this list. Totally. Horrific movie in every way. Whoa. That movie is garbage.
All right.
Finally, I got one.
Okay, good. Well, you'll get this next one. Number 10, Santa Claus Conquers the Martians.
Well, you know what? We're going to defer that until our conversation.
Yeah.
Because you might be surprised by our reaction to it. Well, my reaction.
Okay, number 9. I think we need to see this.
Okay.
Jack Frost 2, Revenge of the Mutant Killer Snowman.
They made a Jack Frost 2?
Right? That was exactly my reaction.
What? Yeah, look for that next week on the show. I can't believe they made a Jack Frost. What year?
2000.
Wow, so right after Jack Frost.
Jack Frost was 96.
Yeah, so pretty close.
Yeah.
Although I say pretty close. I mean, that's 4 years.
Back
in the day, that was actually. Okay. That's so nuts. I can't believe they made a Jack Frost 2.
Right?
Wow. Okay, yeah, no, we're definitely... Look forward to that one next week. All right. Hit me, what's next?
Number 8, A Christmas Story 2.
Oh, wow. Another sequel I didn't know existed.
Yeah. Again, I don't think I knew about it either. Not going to see it. A Christmas Story is great. I am no desire to see another one.
Is it by Bob Clark again, or is it?
It does not say.
Huh. Weird.
Nope. Nothing here.
Okay. What's next?
Number 7, Santa Claus.
That's WS?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm glad that you...
No, the way you said it, I kind of, you know, you flagged that quite effectively.
Thank you. So I don't think I've ever heard of this before. It says here, okay. This is the guy who wrote this list. I remember when showing this film during a Christmas party, thinking it would be a kitschy Christmas slasher, perfect for the irreverent, geeky audience.
Oh, no.
What we didn't bank on was the fact that it's essentially softcore porn masquerading as a horror movie.
Oh, God.
It's one of those exploitation films that attempts to do two different things at the same time and is equally miserable at both. Too dirty and depressing to titillate and far too inept to entertain or frighten anyone.
Oh.
Yeah.
You know, there's a movie on Netflix right now called Santa Claus. It's about, like, Santa has to deliver kittens, but he's allergic to kittens, so kids have to help or something.
That sounds awful. Pretty
bad. But it doesn't sound as bad as this.
So, yeah, there we go. Santa Claus from 1996.
Wow.
Next on the list is Santa with Muscles, also from 1996.
Now that's a garbage movie.
You've seen it?
Of course I've seen Santa with Muscles.
Well, I don't know.
I believe Hulk Hogan loses Hulk Hogan. His memory. And,
and
he
says,
has to battle supervillains.
Okay. Hogan plays an evil millionaire who becomes Santa after falling down a garbage chute and receiving what is clearly severe brain damage. There's also Ed Begley Jr.
As a bunch of supervillains. Okay.
Second evil millionaire and hypochondriac inventor wielding a quirky mini-boss squad with superpowers that range from electric hands to proficient in the use of stink gas to has stethoscope. I love that as a superpower.
That's a good one. Wow. Yeah, no, I've seen that movie, and it's exactly as fun and stupid as that makes it sound. Like, whatever you're expecting based on that description, it's that exact movie.
Okay. Yeah.
Wow.
Anyway, next. Number 5, please. Jingle All the Way 2.
Aww. 2?
Yeah, 2.
There's all these direct-to-video sequels I've never heard of.
Well, there's a reason.
That's so crazy. Okay. That's madness. And who stars in this one? Please, Tom Arnold.
I don't know.
Damn it.
Oh, it stars Larry the Cable Guy?
Oh, well, then I really don't care. Okay. Well, there you go. Tom Arnold would have been acceptable, but...
What does it also say? Oh, no. Sorry. Yeah, all I got is Larry the Cable Guy. That's
okay.
It. Sorry.
It's fine. Keep going.
Shoot. Number 4, Last Ounce of Courage.
I've never heard of this.
This is one of those Christian War on Christmas movies.
Oh, okay.
Let's see here. Last Ounce of Courage may be the worst one ever made.
Is it like, in the future, a group of stormtroopers, like, oh, a group of atheists have taken over the government, and now it's illegal to perform Christmas. And if you try to perform Christmas, you'll be crucified on a Christmas tree. And brave freedom fighters have to stand up to the Bible-burning fascists.
It's not Story of Ricky, but with Christmas instead of music.
The Christmas version. Okay, what is it?
It says here, the film is truly an amazing viewing experience packed with conservative dogma that is so clumsily ham-fisted that one can't help but wonder who the writer thought would possibly be simple-minded enough not to realize the attempted manipulation at work.
Oh.
The plot centers around an archetypal American hero slash veteran slash grandfather slash town mayor who decides it's up to him to bring Christmas back to a city that has banned all displays of festive merriment for reasons that are unclear. Will he be able to affix a big cross with the word Jesus on it to a building downtown in time to save the planet from what is surely imminent destruction?
That's amazing!
What's amazing is this next part.
Okay.
In the film's climactic emotional moment, the veteran's grandson, who has learned the true meaning of Christmas, okay, hijacks the junior high school pageant to show a recently discovered video recorded by his dead soldier father from Afghanistan.
Whoa!
Well, wait for it. In front of a crowd of strangers, he plays the video, which ends with his father wishing him Merry Christmas before being blown to pieces an incoming quarter.
Oh my god! Well, at least his father didn't say, after getting blown to pieces, like he's dying on the ground, saying, you know, I died for your right to celebrate Christmas.
Oh, God.
The fact that they left that as subtext, rather than making it text, proves that it's not as bad as it could have been.
I don't know about that.
No, you have to admit that if he had said, I'm dying for your right to say Merry Christmas, to have Merry Christmas said to you in a mall, then yeah, that would have been worse. It would have been funnier, but it would have been worse.
Ugh.
All right. That sounds amazing. What's next?
Number 3, Santa Claus.
It's not Claus this time.
No, just like regular Santa Claus.
Okay.
From 1959.
Oh, okay. I've never seen this movie.
Says here, Santa lives in a castle in space with Merlin, robotic reindeer, and a bunch of ethnically stereotyped children who perform for his amusement.
Okay. Well, it's off to an interesting start.
In hell, Satan sends one of his demon henchmen to wreak havoc on Earth and induce petty vandalism.
What? Okay. And Santa has to stop that? I guess?
I don't know.
It's actually not 100% clear what side of this Santa is on.
No.
He does keep slaves, after all.
Right. Anyway. Oh, number 2. Here we go. Elves.
Oh, elves. Yeah, now that's a crazy movie.
Yeah. Enjoyable. Yeah, that's I don't know if it's one of the worst, honestly.
It's got Nazi elves. It's very strange. I wouldn't call it one of the worst, but yeah. I get why it makes a... If you were making a list of just off-putting and weird Christmas movies, yeah, put this one on there. But I don't think it's the worst.
No, I don't think so either.
All right.
Are you ready for the last one?
Of course.
Can you guess what it is?
I can't.
I'll give you a hint. It's another sequel.
That's not helping.
Silent Night, Deadly Night 2.
Oh, of course. The movie we were literally discussing yesterday.
Yes.
I'm pretty embarrassed now. Not technically a Christmas movie, I don't think. I mean, we actually got into this conversation yesterday where we know that they played about 30 minutes of the movie Silent Night, Deadly Night in Silent Night, Deadly Night 2. It's like, it's the original The Simpsons, like 53% new content. Or something like it's like the first version of that ever. But yeah, it's an amazing movie in that they basically didn't bother making a movie. Instead, they just, you know, show you clips from that movie and then some new footage of this guy killing people.
In a weird way, like I forgot about this. He watches.
No, yeah, he and his girlfriend go to a theater that is showing Silent Night, Deadly Night. That happens in the movie.
That doesn't make any sense!
No, it makes less than no sense.
How is that even possible?
I don't know. I don't have an answer to that question. I'm the worst person to ask that question.
I don't know, you came up with all kinds of ridiculous plots for these other movies we hadn't seen.
But I just love that, like, I do love that in that movie, the guys were so cheap that they wouldn't film, like, footage of an original, like, slasher film for them to be watching, or just not show the screen at all. No, yeah. They wanted to break the reality of their whole world by showing clips from this kid's life on the movie screen and have people having a good time. And then he kills people because they were loud in the movie.
Well, I can understand that.
Then he kills his girlfriend because she had had sex with someone other than him, like, before dating him.
Well.
Because it's a terrible movie with horrible values, even for an 80s slasher film.
Mm-hmm.
Although at one point, there's a scene where a guy is trying to rape a woman, and he comes, and he kills the guy, and then he just, like, waves to the lady, and the lady leaves. So...
Okay.
I'm just saying, the sexual that happens in that movie too. It's the sexual politics of that movie are all over the map, is what I'm trying to say.
Right.
It's a weird, weird film that should not be remembered as anything but a bizarre curiosity.
Okay.
Yeah, Silent Night, Deadly Night 2. You're a strange one.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I assume they're still making Christmas horror movies, right? Have they kept that up?
I'm pretty sure they have, but I'm not going to...
Oh, you don't have one?
I don't have one. I know, I just...
You had one queued up.
I don't, unfortunately.
Oh, that would have been perfect.
What I have instead is a movie called Among the Shadows.
Ooh, fancy.
All right. Let me know if you can follow this synopsis.
I'll try.
Christy Wolf is a Brussels private eye descended from werewolves who must go to work when her uncle, Harry Goldstone, is murdered in a politically motivated attack. Patricia Sherman...
Oh my god, I'm so excited already!
Patricia Sherman, the wife of European Federation President Richard Sherman, hires Wolf to investigate Goldstone's killing as he was her husband's campaign manager.
Okay. Was he also a werewolf?
Really? Wolf finds bodies falling all over the city and must use her innate instincts to unravel the case and stay alive long enough.
Oh my god, it's about a werewolf PI.
The conspiracy.
This is a werewolf solving a political conspiracy murder mystery.
Yes.
That's fantastic.
It's not. I've seen the trailer for this.
Oh, okay. So it's actually terrible?
It looks pretty terrible. Also, it stars Lindsay Lohan.
Really?
Yeah.
She plays the titular wolf?
No, she's Patricia Sherman, the wife of the European Federation president who hires the werewolf lady.
But really,
to investigate the murder of the werewolf lady's uncle.
Uncle.
Why would she just investigate it anyway? Like,
yeah, I feel like she would have because it was her uncle's murder.
Murdered your uncle.
But maybe it's one of those situations where it's like, I want to hire you, and she's like, I would have done it. I'm going to investigate this anyway. I don't need your money, lady.
But I'll take it anyway because I don't have any income right now. And
obviously, I do have operating expense. I mean, I would do this anyway.
I got bills to pay, so.
But it's not cheap being a werewolf private detective. I have a lot of overhead.
As you can imagine.
As you can imagine.
And it's set in Europe and you need third-party insurance, so.
Wow. What a perfect place for this to go, too. Oh, God. All right. What's the movie called again?
Among the Shadows.
And it even has a perfect title. All right. Among the Shadows. But, of course, we didn't watch any of those movies. So let's talk about the movie we're here to talk about.
Let's do Santa Claus Conquers the Martians.
Ooh.
The children of Mars spend a lot of time watching Earth TV, and so it comes to pass that in December, the kids get despondent because Mars doesn't have Christmas, or, more importantly, Santa Claus. What's a Mars dad to do but kidnap Santa and force him to make toys for the children of Mars?
It's not a terrible plan.
Well,
severe ethical issues with that plan.
But it comes from a place of love.
Oh, yeah, no, he's a good dad.
He's a good dad. He's
he
just
really
a little...
is.
Maybe they have different values and different ethics on Mars, clearly.
Yeah.
So
they're pro kidnapping, for example.
You know, it makes sense in his mind.
Earthicans really aren't.
Earthicans.
You know, that's what Futurama decided that people call people from Earth. I've always loved that term, Earthicans.
Earthicans.
All right. But yeah, it's he's a good dad. And what is his name? Key?
I don't know. The only name I remember is Momar.
Oh, yeah. Kemar. His name is Kemar. And his wife is named Momar.
Yeah.
And there's this actually, here's how little effort they put into the names. So he's named Kemar. And his wife is named Momar, which is the first two letters of mother and then Mar. And his son is named Bomar, which is the first two letters of boy and then Mar. And then his daughter's named Gimar, which is the first two letters of girl and then Mar.
Yes.
Like, they put no effort at all.
Why not?
No, hey, it's
why
not
bother?
They're allowed. I'm not saying they're not allowed. I'm just saying it's kind of hilarious that they did that. So, yeah, this movie is crazy.
Here's the thing. So, yeah. We were supposed to go and see this movie at a bad movie night screening,
yeah,
which was aborted because of technical difficulties. And I feel like,
yes,
if I'd seen the movie with an audience, I probably would have enjoyed it more than watching it alone.
I get that. The weird part is, I think it will play better with an audience, but yeah, I weirdly kind of enjoyed it watching it on my own.
Okay.
Because there's a lot of just strange things in this movie. Like, enough, and it jumps around so quickly, and such weird things happen, and, I mean, literally, this movie opens with a news reporter going to visit Santa at the North Pole.
Yeah, Santa's a real person who really exists
in the world of this movie.
World.
There's no theory, there's no do you believe in Santa? No, like, Santa's a dude, he works all year at the North Pole, everybody knows about him, this is the first time he's actually letting in film cameras.
Yeah.
To film him working. But that's like the only thing that's significant about the guy coming there. Like, it's not, the weird part is, it's not even news that the guy has found Santa or something, it's just news that he's getting to film it.
Exactly.
Like, okay, weird place for the movie to start.
Well, no, but it makes sense, though, within the context of the film, because then the Martians arrive to kidnap Santa Claus. So it's like,
yeah, they needed to know
Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Yeah, has to be a real person that really exists in order to be kidnapped, because
or else
the
you're
Martians...
doing a Mars version of Mars Santa version of Galaxy Quest,
right?
Where they kidnap a mall Santa, and then wackiness ensues, and everybody learns a valuable lesson. I would watch that movie too, by the way. Like a Martian and Santa version
Hello,
of Galaxy
Hollywood.
Quest. Yeah, where like aliens think Santa is real, so they come to get Santa's secrets, and then they learn about everybody teaches each other the true meaning of Christmas. I would totally watch that movie.
Jesus.
That's not this movie, though. He is Santa. Oh,
he is Santa. Nobody learns the true meaning of anything.
No.
And as we stated earlier, there is no conquering of anyone or anything.
No one attempts to nor succeeds in conquering anything at any point in this movie. That's just a fact.
So, if you're going into this movie thinking that you're going to watch a battle between Santa Claus and Martians, prepare for disappointment.
And because the weird part is, you could say, well, isn't Santa teaching them the value of Christmas a kind of conquering? No, because they specifically brought him there to bring them the value of Christmas.
To bring
joy. Like, they
joy
knew that's what they were
children.
Getting with him.
Yeah.
Like
that's
they
their
wanted
starting
an old
point.
Magical elf to give their kids presents once a year. Like, that's what they were hoping to get, and that's what they get.
I think the only thing anyone learns is that the Martians learn that their children need to have a childhood.
Yes.
Because their
although
kids
they don't
are
really learn that,
adults.
Because, like, that's... It's weird to say learn that, because that is the hypothesis of the leader of the Martians, Kemar. And it's what... It's the inciting incident of the film is his kids are watching too much TV when they should be studying. And he's like, they seem to be really sad this time of year, and they just want to watch this Santa guy. Oh, maybe we should go bring him here, and then the kids will be happy. And he thinks, maybe we're educating the kids too harshly from early on. And then he turns out to be right. And the only person challenging his worldview is this complete D-bag.
Underling.
And I'm like, how does this guy still have a job? First
I
off,
know, right?
Why did you bring him on the mission?
He
when from the very
in
start.
The face.
No! Why? Oh,
then
like,
he gets sent to the brig, mind you.
Yeah,
and escapes
he
because you have the worst help ever, honestly.
Oh,
that guy is a liability. What's his name?
Because like, so right from jump, this guy's like, this is a terrible plan. I want no part of it. Martians should not ever be happy. We used to be the planet of war. Cause, you know, Mars, the Martian god. That's what that was a reference to. I guess that they acknowledged that they are Martians and they were named after the god of war, which is weird. A weird thing for Martians to do.
I guess, well, unless, like, that's also in this, the world of the film, that
Mars is a real dude and they know they were named at, and he did in fact found Mars.
Yeah.
Like, maybe they're all descendants of Mars.
Landish's flag.
Who can say? That's actually, it's not a bad theory. Come to the, good work on that one. I like that. But anyway.
I explain why they're green, but.
So I'm watching the movie and, it's unbelievably cheap, like super cheap. They have these tiny sets that they can barely move around in, and they don't have many of them. Like, we keep seeing the same locations over and over again. We don't get, like, Martian vistas or North Pole vistas or anything like that. They have the cutest polar bear suit I've ever seen in my life.
Cutest? I would not...
You find that adorable?
Describe that as... No, it is...
You
sad?
Thought that was nightmarish?
Okay. I think it's a word you could use to describe the suit.
Oh, I thought it was adorable.
Oh my god.
So clearly just a guy walking around on his hands and knees.
In
like a puppy suit. Like a white puppy suit.
It's so bad.
It's terrible.
And they did their best to shoot around the guy's legs.
I know, but you can't.
So it's just like the top half of the polar bear, but it's like, oh, it doesn't even look like a polar bear.
At all. Well, no, when it first showed up, I thought, oh, is that the monster that they've been keeping in the... the monster they've been keeping inside spaceship the whole time? Because you have never gotten the build-up to an introduction of a monster the way you do in this movie.
Yeah, it's true.
We get like 5 minutes of, there's a monster coming, get ready for the monster. You're not going to believe the monster that's on its way. Torg cannot be defeated. Torg is our ultimate weapon. We must use Torg to capture Santa.
Right.
And then it is literally, like, if you asked a child to draw what a robot looks like.
That's what Torg is.
That is what Torg is. Like, it's as if the 5-year-old, daughter or son of the filmmaker drew the design of Torg, and then a costume designer was like, yeah, I can do that in 5
easy.
Minutes.
Bring me a cardboard box and some tubing.
Tin foil.
I'll have this done for you in half an hour.
Oh, God. And it barely moves. And I'm like, how did he capture those children? He can't even move. Oh, God. Oh, and can I... this movie is the weirdest thing because, so these kids are kidnapped, right? By the way, the Martians kidnap some children to find out where the real Santa is. Cause they like, there's actually a pretty funny moment where they're like, all right, we just gotta find Santa. Use our radar scopes to track him down. Are you crazy? There's billions of people on Earth. That would be like finding a single speck of space dust in the tail of a comet. I found him.
Oh, there he is.
It's like literally, it is good comedy editing because there's like half a second between him finishing that line and found him.
Yeah. Okay. No, that is legitimately funny. And then another guy's like, oh, found another one.
I'm like, what the hell?
I get it.
We better find out what's going on with all these Santas running around. So they kidnap two children because who knows more about Santa than children?
No, they don't even, but at first they just talk to the kids. And the kids are like, oh, those are just Santa's helpers. Santa lives at the North Pole. Oh, okay. Thanks, kids. And then the jerk, he's like, we can't
If Santa disappears and these kids say they were talking to some Martians about Santa, the government is going to put two and two together and realize Martians kidnapped Santa. And then what? Like, what will the human government do?
What will they do?
What will they do? What is the threat here? Because I'm anxious to find out. But no, they do not explain what the threat of that is.
And then Kimmer is like, You're right. All right.
Yeah, you're
we
right.
Better. It's like, kids. Okay, kids, let's go. He like takes them by the hand.
We're going to the North Pole.
We're off on a magical adventure to kidnap then, Santa Claus.
And then they cut to, and this is a beautiful moment. They cut to the news broadcast, the same newsman we've been seeing the whole movie. And he's like, breaking alert. Two children have not come home at the end of the day.
Like
is this is a slow news day? And I'm like, oh, wait, it's not a slow news day. Because the rest of the update is the government is warning you that an alien spacecraft has invaded our, you know, sovereign airspace. I'm like, then how did you have time to talk about these missing kids?
No, you're missing the best part of that newscast. It's like,
go.
It's just in. There's something in the sky. We think it's an alien spaceship, but it could be a meteor, but it could be aliens.
Breaking news. It might be aliens.
This is a world where just like everything is possible.
I know.
Nothing is impossible.
People constantly talk about all of the possible things in a really, you know, quick terms. There's no shame about bringing that up in public. Oh, also, and like the strange thing, the head of the space program is Wernher von Green. Get it?
Oi.
Oh God, you're making me worry for you, filmmakers, that you put that joke in there.
It was 1964, so.
It was 1964, and he was very famous, but. Oh, here's something I liked. They had the correct name of the Santa sheep. Sheep? This is Santa's reindeer. Wow, that happened. Apparently my brain exploded. I got no excuse for that. Mm. That was bad. But yes, they had the correct names, Dunder and Blitzen, and not Donner. Because, people changed
no, it is
to Donner.
It's Donder in the poem.
Yeah, in the poem, exactly. And they changed it to Donner because no one knew what a Donder was. But of course, it's German for thunder and lightning. Donder and Blitzen. And so it makes perfect sense that he would be named Donder,
but why would you change Donder to Donder and leave Blitzen? Blitzen's not a word in English.
Because in English, people have heard of the word blitz. So they're like, oh, and blitz is something that's fast, right? Yep, that's right. And so they went with that. Yeah, it's strange. It's strange that they changed one, but not the other. But they're like, yeah. We went with Donner. But yeah, they had the correct name, which even, what do you call it? Buff Santa movie didn't do on Netflix.
You have to stop watching Santa movies on Netflix.
I do. I
honestly.
Really do. What was nice, though, was when he's listing the sheep, another hilarious 1964 joke.
The
he's
sheep,
like,
eh?
Sheep, Jesus Christ. I'm the worst. But yeah, when he's doing his list, he's like, Vixen and Nixon. Get it? You know, that famous political loser, Nixon? Eh? Like, weird call out in a kid's movie.
Oh.
Just a strange thing to drop in there.
It's, you know, the parents will watch with their children, that's the assumption, right?
They want a few jokes in there for them, right?
Yeah.
You need to put a few jokes in there for the parents.
Anyway, so...
Okay, I do. But yeah, and I did... There's stuff I genuinely liked in this movie, which is... by the way, and again, how are you so bad at dealing with your subordinates? Because there's a scene in this movie where... So the robot, the killer robot, right,
Torg.
Shows up on Earth, right? And the villain is like, hey, the two kids ran out of the spaceship. Killer robot, catch them. And then killer robot does. And he's like, great, now crush them to death.
Yes!
What?
This guy is bloodthirsty.
He is the worst. And then his boss is, of course, no, robot, don't. Luckily, he only responds to my command, so don't worry, kids, he's not gonna kill you. But, yeah, you're a problem, dude. And then he still doesn't put him under arrest.
I know!
He continues to not put him under arrest until he actually tries to airlock them.
Well, I guess, there's nothing but the mission. The mission is all.
But it's like, but then he does put him under arrest after he tries to blast them out an airlock.
Yes.
And I'm like... Why wait till that, though? He had already crossed a line of acceptable behavior. a while ago.
A long time ago, yes.
Like, why did you wait this long, buddy? And I know it's because they need there to be threat in the movie, but still, come on, guy.
Yeah, I know.
What are you doing? Oh, and then what I did like, though, something I genuinely enjoyed, was Santa's reaction to being almost blasted out an airlock. How unrelentingly positive he is about the experience. Because, and this is true, he's like, so he goes to report it to Kemar, and he's like, yep, he was just showing us the airlock, and
all
then...
Right, all by accident.
By accident, he locked us in. And then he went up to the control room and accidentally started the airlock purge system.
Well, I read that as, like, Santa's trying to throw this guy a bone because he knows he's in trouble. And it's like, dude, if you just play along with me, we can both get out of this.
I know, because he's Santa. He's the best.
Like, it was just an accident, right, guy? Accident.
He's trying, and he's Santa, so he's always giving people more chances and always being forgiving. And the guy just will not accept the help. He won't learn the lesson.
Nope.
Oh, and then they get to, Mars, and I guess all drama just leaves the film.
Yeah, then it's just Santa's... Well, he's not, like, an indentured labor, really, but he's fine
helping kids.
But he's sort of he's forced to make toys for the children of Mars, but his workshop is automated, so he feels
like, well, what
unfulfilled.
Am I even here for? Yeah, I'm literally... And there are jokes about him just pressing a button all day.
Yeah, and then his...
What's the point of this?
The bad guy's master plan is to rewire the workshop so the toys are a little messed up.
Like, you know, they can just open up the panel and fix that. Like, is he going to make it so it blows up when Santa... No, okay, that's just like a doll's head on a bear's body. I feel like that's going to take them 5 minutes to know there's something wrong and then fix it. And it does.
That's the end of that, yeah. But
and then he's like... And the one thing I really love was he, after spending all of this time trying to murder children and Santa, his master plan is kidnap Santa and use the fact that the threat of killing Santa to get Kemar to agree to peaceably send Santa and the Earth children back to Earth. Wait, that's your end game? What happened to all the murder, dude?
I guess he just lost his taste for it.
Yeah, it seems that way.
Because he wasn't good at it, so...
Yeah, this thing has the problem of a lot of movies... Well, it has the good thing about bad movies back in the day, which is the problem with bad movies now is that, like all movies, they are made from a template.
Mm-hmm.
So they're very boring. Because if a film is bad now, generally it's just a movie that was made by the numbers, and people didn't care. They were just... Everybody was there to cash a check and then go home. Whereas back... In the day, bad movies were bad, you know, because people who didn't know what they were doing made a movie. And so they were always kind of entertaining because the wonderful thing about a truly bad movie made by an auteur who doesn't know what they're doing is that you have no idea what's going to happen next in the film.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what I liked about this movie. Like, when this movie started, again, it starts at 11 crazy. With, you know, an interview with Santa at the North Pole for, you know, ITV News. And then it just keeps going up from there.
I don't think that's that weird. It's a children's film called Santa Claus Conquers the Martians.
That's true.
Stands to reason that Santa would be a real character in the movie.
Well, no, but just the fact that part of the movie is that everyone knows who Santa is and that he's real is a weird place to start your movie.
I don't know. The crazier part for me was those news broadcasts where it's like, yes, there's a UFO up in the sky and it might be a meteor, but it also might be Martians. It's like, where are you getting this? Like, it doesn't make sense. And then they accelerate their space program so they can send a rocket ship to chase the Martians. That, by the way, is never resolved.
Never goes anywhere. Like, oh my god, they've been following us because the kids deactivated our radar shield. Oh, well, we'll just turn the radar shield back on then. Oh, okay. So what happened to the Earth people?
Are they still on their way to Mars? What's going on here? See, so this, like, hilarious, awkward moment when the rescue party arrives, but, oh, Santa and the kids have already left to go back to Earth, and it's just, like...
That would be very awkward and very funny.
But this film
ends, like so many movies, it ends when they ran out of film.
Yeah, it's just like, well, I've brought Christmas to the Children of Mars. I guess we'll go home now. And Kimar's safe travels. But you said he had to stay. I don't understand why he's going home. I mean, who's taking him? Is he flying the rocket ship himself?
That's true. I assume they brought him back, but the film does not tell you that. I assume now that they have their own Martian version of Santa, because Santa is really more of a, and this could have been the message of the movie, that you didn't need Santa all along, you just needed to have Christmas in your heart, and the ability to have a machine that makes unlimited gifts.
I think it's really the machine to make unlimited toys, because the Martian who dresses up as Santa doesn't actually do any of the Santa stuff. He's just buffoon in a suit.
The implication at the end of the movie, to be fair, is that he will take over as Martian Santa.
But he's the worst. He is the worst.
And honestly, I would like a sequel showing how Martian culture was screwed up by having this idiot as fake Santa. Right. Like, that would be entertaining.
But it isn't about having Christmas in your heart, because apparently in this movie, Christmas is just getting toys for no reason.
Once a year, yeah. Once a year for no reason. That's true. Can I say a moment in this movie that I genuinely loved, that is not a big moment in the movie, but I adored it? So they go to the, they go to talk to the elders, who explains to them why the kids
elder.
Are depressed.
Elder. There's just
elder,
one.
You're right, the elder. Right, who explains to them that the kids are sad because they don't have Santa. I mean, there's more to the scene but that. But then,
the villain
of the movie is like, bah, that's a terrible idea. And Kimar is like, show some respect. He's got lots of knowledge he's 800 years old. And then the villain's like, no, I refuse to do that.
I'm not doing that.
I don't agree with that premise. And I'm like, why is this character being such a jerk? Oh, to establish that he's the villain. Oh, okay. But it's like, right from that moment, you're like, why is this guy his brother-in-law or something?
why is he keeping
this guy around? He is of no help to anything.
I thought you were going to say your favorite moment, and it's in that scene. It's like, what month is it? Why is September?
Yes, no, that was the other best thing. It is the month of September. No, not here on Earth. No, not here on Mars. What is
on Earth? Oh, early
you're right.
December.
No, that, I can't believe I didn't mention that. Yes.
But
the month of September.
Even if it's September on Mars, there's no reason that should correlate to early December on Earth, because the two planets have different orbits.
Completely different.
Their days are a different length. Yep. Their year is different. Like, it just doesn't work.
Why do they call it September? I need to know this. Oh, no, you're totally right. That was beautiful. That scene is legit beautiful. You're totally right. But no, my favorite was the villain's reaction. I'm just like, no.
No.
No, like, I don't agree with the premise that we have to listen to what old people have to say. Like, such a strange thing to put in this movie. And I know kids have to learn to value their elders, and he's the villain, so you give him a wrong statement. But still, it's just a weird thing to have happen.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, no. I there's a lot I legitimately enjoyed in this movie. Like, there really is. I'm not going to say it's great at all.
It's certain, like, yep. It has, you know, people like to say it's the worst movie ever. God, like, no, it's really not.
No, it's not.
Because we've seen
anything.
The worst movie ever.
Yes, we have.
This isn't it.
No, it's not the worst Christmas movie ever by far. Check out our episode from exactly 1 year ago today to find out what that was. Or don't. It's terrible. But yeah. The episode's
but I was
fine.
Gonna
we
say,
just hated like, that movie.
Again, I just, if you're gonna watch this movie, watch it with a group, because
oh yeah, you'll have a better time.
You'll have a much better time.
I agree with that 100%.
Watching with friends than watching alone, like I did.
Yeah. No, I mean, there is legit funny stuff in the movie, and there's even stuff that is intended to be funny that does land as a joke. Like, yes. That does happen in the movie.
Yep.
So it's not completely inept, but this is definitely a get a bunch of people together who want to watch a bad movie, have a couple of drinks, and enjoy Santa Claus Conquers the Martians. It's only 80 minutes long, and even though a few parts of it do drag, I think you will enjoy yourself.
And there's a song to sing at the end.
Yeah, the special hit single plays at the beginning of the end of the movie. It's a mm-hmm. song about Santa Claus. It was an attempt to create a new Christmas standard that got, you know, infinite airplay at Christmas, and it didn't work.
Nope.
It did not happen for them, which is sad. And it's hard to become a Christmas standard. Stephen Colbert couldn't manage it, and that was the entire point of him doing that special. So, like, it's not an easy thing to do, and Santa Claus Conquers the Martians, which, by the way, is not what the song is called or about.
No.
I would have respected the song more had it been about the plot of the film, but they didn't do that.
Like Green Slime or Zombievers.
Yeah, exactly. Like, just go for it. Do a song that's about the plot of the movie. Mm-hmm. I love it when that happens. All right. So, that was Santa Claus Conquers the Martians. A film that I can't believe we're recommending as strongly as we are, but we did give that recommendation a lot of caveats.
We did, yes.
We did. All right. So yeah, Santa Claus Conquers the Martian. Check it out, but, you know, don't expect anything great. Do you have any narcissism you would like to watch?
Yes.
Yay.
Like, there's the usual stuff, Chicks and Dicks and True North Crime, but I actually am in the process of writing a review, which I haven't done in a super long time. So that will be up on Influx in the next couple of days. So you can go to Influx Mag. It's a movie called Unlisted Owner.
Okay. And this is a new, I assume it's a horror movie.
It's a horror movie. It's a found footage horror movie.
Ooh.
And it's not great.
Oh.
So,
as is so often the case.
Yeah. I'm working on the review for that. So keep your eyes peeled. InfluxMagazine.com.
Okay, cool. I will check that out, and I encourage everyone else to as well. For me, constant flood of new content over at Vargelon.com. We've got new content at the Hidden Object Guru YouTube channel. Just plenty of stuff for you to find here. There's never any shortage of material from the Count Vargelon /Hoguru.
Perfect.
All right. Is there any other way to get in touch with us?
Yeah, you can visit the AVODs blog at theavod.com. You can leave us a comment there and tell us about your least favorite Christmas movie. It doesn't have to be a horror movie, although most of them are kind of horrifying. You can send us an email at theavod@gmail.com. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
And I encourage you to do all of those things. So until next time, I've been Count Vargelon.
I've been DM.
Thanks for watching, and have yourselves a great evening.
Good night.